For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Cody, I got a question for you.
Yep.
You're a consumer of cannabis. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Well, I got a question. Have you ever taken a CBD product hoping that it would help relieve stress or help you sleep, but you were left disappointed?
1,000%.
Well, Via Hemp Company is dedicated to crafting high-strength hemp products you can actually feel. Get this. They even have a legal THC product that they can ship to your door in all 50 states. These guys have crafted products that promote specific effects such as sleep, pain relief, and even energy. Whether you want gummies, topicals, vapes, or drops, they got you. So head over to their site and improve your daily routine with Via Hemp Company. Visit viahemp.com. That's V-I-I, it's two I's, V-I-I-A-H-E-M-P.com. And use the code K100 for 15% off your first order. That's V-I-I-A-H-E-M-P.com and the code K100 for 15% off your first order. CBD products are the way to go, and I'm telling you, this stuff is going to be great.
Yeah, and for the people that prefer the gummies, they have something called their Cloud9 high-spectrum gummies, which are perfect for providing effects of euphoria. They have Delta-8 products. They have everything that you're looking for.
Yeah, and, you know, like we said, we try everything on this show. Obviously, I'm a big connoisseur of this stuff, and that's why we're providing it to you guys. I'm a big fan of the pineapple berry. Very good gummies, and there's another one called Flow State that's really good. And so, you know, and here's something that a lot of people always tell me, oh, I'll take it, and it, you know, I get paranoid, or I'll take it and it really doesn't work. Well, not every strain works on everybody. You got to try different things to see what works for you, and once you find it, you stay with that. You know, not everything works on everybody. But I guarantee you that you will find pain relief if that's what you're looking for. You will be able to sleep way better if that's what you're looking for. Or just have a nice buzz, but you're still functional. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this is something that we're promoting. Check it out. Buy a hemp company. And it's, you know, like Disco said, it's CBD.
Yeah, and this is simple.
THC.
If you're interested in this, for these products, like you said, if you know, some people say they they have different reactions. Just give it a try. We're giving you 15% off. Okay, so right. Get it on sale. Give it a shot and see what you like.
And let us know, you know, what you thought about it. Get your gummies at viahemp.com. Boom.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride. The ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang,
the
bang, the bang, bang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
We be thumping.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
Just act like you know and homie, stop fucking.
Come through stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the essays in the 6-4 hopping. To my boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks, making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Shackled up like a nut, going 5150. G'd up in the feed up, greased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clucker in the shop, straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Calma de momento, paisa no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Cali to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo man, that boy don't play.
So next is from Hornet Gallowagger, and the subject is Punk at the Top. Question for all three. The next AEW pay-per-view, they're doing Punk versus Hangman Page for the title. Page's run has generally been considered a failure by most people, so it's kind of obvious that Punk is going to get the title at the event. What I'm asking you guys is, will this change a thing? Since his debut last year, CM Punk has been pushed as the number one babyface in the company anyway. So making him the champion would really matter. Plus, knowing Punk's ego issues, do you think he'll be able to handle being the champion if ratings don't improve either? I love the show, even when Billy and Aldis are on. Well, this guy's obviously is racist against UK
the
people.
English, yeah.
Right. Punk is an upgrade on Hangman Page. Number one is it's an upgrade on the mic for one, because Page is not. I'm just not into Adam Page at all. I'm not into him. I think he's a Kmart cowboy. He doesn't dress the part. I don't know. I think Punk would definitely be better in that role. What do you think?
Yeah, me too. I just get the vibe of like, hey, he was here from the beginning and we promised him and we told him we were going to give it to him sooner or later, kind of like Scorpio Sky. And here it is. Punk, I have not been impressed with his run. And I'm a CM Punk fan. And I don't think him getting the title is going to help ratings.
There's another question about CM Punk here. From Ben. CM Punk was on guest commentary for
FTR. And let me tell you another thing. And if CM Punk is going to be defending the title against Daniel Garcia and Lee Moriarty and all these upcoming guys, then it to me, don't put the title on him. He needs to put that title against guys that have names, right. You know, whether it's Bryan Danielson, whether it's Moxley, whether it's, you know, Adam Cole, like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So next, CM Punk was on guest commentary for the FTR match because he said he was so excited to see them face each other, and that might be the case. But should Tony Khan allow him to? At what point do you step in and stop Punk from making himself seem less special on a near weekly basis? I think we talked about that last week. That spot was done because
Page was out with COVID. Yep.
So right. I'm not going to criticize him for that.
Right.
You know, so because that was just a fill, probably a. They decided to just use that for filler to keep him on the show.
Yeah, that was a late game audible. Yeah.
Plus, they probably figured the Philly fans were going to react big to him, and they did.
Right. Next is from Fall. Let me ask you a question, by the way. I noticed there was a good – what type of heat did it get when the guy – who's the guy that came back in AAA where he unmasked? He took the mask Dr. Wagner.
Right.
So was that the first time he'd appeared in a while when he came back in – so what type of heat did it get?
Good heat.
Right. What about Vamp? I saw Vamp. You go every time there's a triple mania, Vamp is on the show. Like every single time.
Because he's an easy pop, bro.
Right.
You know, we set him up. He came in to save this guy called Latin Lover, and it was an easy pop.
Yeah. Right. Next is from Fall
Vampire. It's all about making the fans happy.
Right. Next from Fall Vampire, and the subject is Santana and Ortiz's future. Question for Conan, but I'd like Disco's and Joe's take on this too. I loved LAX and Impact, but we all see that clearly their AEW run has gone from crap to shit in 3 years. Conan, without causing any heat for them, can you let us know if they're aware of the success they could be having in WWE? LAX versus RK-Bro, the Usos, Street Profits, Mysterios, Alpha Academy, New Day, Fight Night, to name a few, for all potentially huge hit matches that could really tear the house down. Can you let us know if they have any interest in talking to WWE, or do you know if WWE is interested in signing them?
Before Conan answers, sorry, I just wanted to say, I think the reason the guy's asking this question is because a few days ago, Santana tweeted 126 days, and people are figuring that that's what's left on their contract, that that's what that tweet meant. So,
Let me make a point here. You know what's funny, too? This is kind of like how the word we're getting is that everybody's kind of like all happy there. Mm-hmm. But, bro, look at everybody on their roster. How many guys do you think are happy with their creative? Like, happy with it?
Maybe a third.
Like, look at what they do. Bro, not a lot of guys are in angles.
Yeah.
You know, if you do have an angle, you're just attacking somebody or jumping them in an interview or punking them out in an interview, and the next week you have the match and stuff, and then you're not on TV and stuff. How many guys are happy? Like, literally the only guys right now that kind of be happy with creative are Jericho, MJF, Wardlow.
Punk.
I mean,
Punk. Page.
Maybe the Blackpool Combat, but they're not doing much. They're just doing squash. It's just like, you know, like they
there's
need
some,
like, really.
There is some. The people that are used, that are being used right, are happy. Everybody else isn't, and more right. people aren't being used right. That's the problem with bringing
so
much talent,
right. yeah.
and not knowing what to do with it. Which really, it should not be a problem with four shows, but
right.
And there was just more releases too. So who knows who else is going to come in? But actually, I read that there might be another AEW show coming to TBS.
A reality show. Did you see that?
Yeah.
They're doing an AEW reality show now. Like more content. It's the last thing we need is more wrestling content. It's like, Jesus Christ. It's like, it's already diluted enough as it is, you know? hang on, I gotta plug my computer in here. All right. So next is from Mitchell Black. Subject is wrestlers versus storyline. As a last fan, I hear y'all answer other emails or see people on Twitter talking about certain guys being over, being a draw. I'm under belief that storylines draw, not wrestlers. You have a bunch of good actors in a movie, but a terrible script, the movie stinks. You can have unknown actors, but a great script, the movie gets over. Do you guys believe that wrestling needs a great storyline to get the fans back, as opposed to every match being a five-star match with a half-star storyline? Yes, because like the metrics show that, like, you know, every month there's four-star matches for all these great matches according on TV, but there's not a lot of great storylines. And the numbers dictate that. They're not trending up, you know? I mean, especially down during the playoffs.
Well,
you need good storylines.
The way I book is like I do both. I have some storylines and some matches that are just great matches and no storylines, because you know the match is going to be great. You know, like if you would have done Eddie versus Sean with like no storyline, it would have been a great match. Obviously, with a storyline, it's even better. But sometimes I do a combination of both.
Right. Find good workers and get them a good storyline. It's a simple formula, actually. But you got to stick to the storyline. Yeah. Anybody having Karate Gottfried? That's actually the guy's name. Right. Subject is Cornette. Over the last few months, especially because of some of his recent AWS and WrestleMania reviews, fans have finally started to become aware of how fake Jim Cornette can be. He has even recently started to see, quote, "Let's see what the YouTube comments think about that," unquote, after trashing something that has generally been praised elsewhere. That's just the fans, though. My question for Conan Disco is, within the wrestling industry, what is Cornette's reputation? Do wrestlers hate him? Can you name names? I'll tell you right, Cornette's reputation in the industry is, by everybody that's worked with him, is the guy knows what he's doing. He's very smart, very intelligent. You know, it just he's got a very good take on the business, right? A lot of wrestlers do hate him, and it's a lot of the guys from Ring of Honor, and where he wasn't very well liked, you know, by a lot of these guys. And like both the guys and then Jim brings it on himself. We'll be critical of wrestlers on you know, their performances and stuff, but we don't do personal attacks. He personally attacks a lot of these guys, and like they're kind of like blindside attacks. Like they don't attack him before he attacks them. You know what I'm saying? But that's the way he cuts promos, and he has a fan base of fans that like that stuff. You know, but you know, he's still got a lot of respect in the business for his takes on the business. But even now, he's kind of like, you know, he used to be tight with Ross, and they're not tight anymore. He's burning a lot of bridges. You know, because he's kind of like really personal with it. He hates the Young Bucks. He hates Kenny Omega. I mean, and that's, you know, I don't hate those guys. Like he hates what they do. He hates Kenny Omega for doing like these fetish matches back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, he hates the Young Bucks for super kicking the 9-year-old kid on that spot show, which was so funny. You know, he hates them for that because he thinks they're, you know, like the old adage, taking food off my table by making the business look silly. And it's like, dude, it's like, come on. This is entertainment. You know, this isn't drawing back in, you know, 25 years ago where the fans thought it was real and stuff. And then this is a different form of entertainment. It's like, you know, and then like, it is what it is. So
I would agree with everything that you just said. I would also add to that. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever met. He's a genius. He's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he has against us, because I've invited him on the show many times and he doesn't even have the courtesy to respond.
Right.
But I really don't give a
because
fuck.
Because I was Russo's friend. Like, I guarantee
that. Oh, is that why?
That's absolutely
stupid.
Right.
That's snowflake shit.
It's ridiculous.
Anyways, yeah. Because the guy that's okay, – anyway, so I think that what's really weird is for somebody that smart, at the beginning I thought, wow, you know, him going after people, that's a shtick. He knows what he's doing and he's doing it to rile them up and he's working everybody. But like you said, he's lost friendships now, like Jim Ross. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying?
Yeah.
So there is a part of him. And I just can't believe that Jim, as smart as he is, bro, there's nothing, not fashion, not TV, not movies, not music, not sports. Tell me something that's still like the way it used to be in the 60s and the 70s. There isn't anything. Shit has changed. You got to change with it and accept it. You know, what was in your time was a different wrestling, which, you know, now is for the minority. You could probably find it in some places, but the majority is consuming something else.
Yeah. So the next one, this is going to be interesting here, because we can talk about the Kenny Omega stuff on this one. Next one, Tourist Wobbled. And the subject is Disco's Rep. This is going to be a pretty long discussion, because this brings up a good point. I got a question for Conan and Joe about Disco. I love Disco Inferno on the show. He's funny. He's smart. He has some really great stories. I love that he will always speak his opinion no matter what the masses are saying. Seems like every week that some effing snowflake from the wrestling industry, wrestlers or dirt street riders, get annoyed because Disco dares to speak his opinion online. Kenny Omega and JD from New York are your examples. But what I'd like to ask is, how does this affect Conan and Joe? Conan works with a lot of these adults, and Joe works on, I think the last count was, 43 billion podcasts from wrestlers. Is that an accurate number, Joe?
Yeah, it's up
there. How many, you work on 43 billion other podcasts?
Yeah.
Do you guys get any hassle from people within the industry because of Disco? That's a good question. Let's talk about the Kenny Omega thing first, because this obviously affects you, Conan, because Kenny works with you, right? And it's funny, too, is like a lot of these guys, they work with you, and they know that you do this with me, and it's kind of like, you know, I don't understand what their problem is. The show is called Keeping It 100. It's like I'm not intentionally burying things that I think are good or just, you know, whatever. I'm just speaking my mind on what I view in the business and analyzing stuff and all that. But this week, this was the big controversy, right? So Becky Lynch, you got that article, Joe? You got all this stuff ready?
I got everything.
I told
ready.
Joe to have sick.
Yeah.
Read what Becky Lynch says.
Okay.
This starts it all.
Okay, you didn't tell me to have that ready, but I will.
Well, just okay. But Becky Lynch basically makes a comment. She does an interview online that goes viral. She says that basically that the AEW wrestlers are not presented well on their show and they're not as good as us. Okay, they're not as good as the WWE girls. Was the gist of what she said, right?
She said competition is great. And it's great for there to be another place. And I have a very good friend in Ruby Soho over there. I'd love to see her as a champion one day. I'd love to see her getting the spotlight she deserves. Competition is always great, but over here, we are on another level right now. Man, we are on another level.
So Dave tweets, right? Stardom has the best women wrestlers. That's the only tweet. Okay. Now, Conan, have you heard of Stardom before?
Yeah.
I haven't. I have no idea what Stardom is. Okay. Because you were down in Mexico, and then Jeremy said I was trending on Twitter over this stuff because, like, show this clip, right? You can enlarge it, Joe. Mm-hmm. There we go. Okay, and I see this. This is what I see. I know nothing about Stardom, except Dave says they're the best. These are the best women wrestlers. That's literally the only two things I know. That's it. And then I see this clip. Go ahead.
そうですね。あの、すべての、すべての動きに意味がないようにも見える、すべての動きに意味があるようにも見えるのが、この駿河メイです。もらった。ああ、抜けられた。ああ、並んだ。ああ、完全に止まった。そうですね。あの、
Okay, I'm a little bit of a troll. Okay, but I tweet, didn't Dave say these were the best women's wrestlers? And is it, bro, how, but for me tweeting that, okay, let's say you were the owner of Stardom. Okay, like, would that bother you?
What was the question?
I'm just, would that bother you, my tweet? I'm basically, all I'm tweeting is Dave.
No.
I thought Dave said these are the best women's wrestlers. That's all I said. Okay. I don't know how Kenny Omega gets a hold of this because we don't follow each other. Maybe somebody like tagged me, you know, stuff. But this is Kenny's response. Read this, Joe.
It's pretty sickening that unathletic enhancement talents of yesteryear are trying to tear down incredibly gifted stars of today. By the way, this clip and both these gals rule.
Okay.
And he also said, I was being generous by calling him an enhancement talent. In most cases, no one's character or career was enhanced by Disco's performance.
All right. So he takes shots at me. And he's taking shots at me. And like all my tweet says, is all I'm saying is I'm questioning Dave on whether or not these girls are better than the WWE girls. Which I don't know. Based on that clip, I said, what is it? These are better than WWE girls? All right. So I got into it here. Like, I got to respond. But... you know, he tweeted that, and then he had a couple more tweets where basically somebody said, why don't you fight him? That's not a good look for an executive vice president of a company, okay? Like cutting a promo on me, which is not accurate, for one thing. Okay, Cody, would you consider me in WCW? Was I an enhancement talent?
No.
No. Okay, was I basically a mid-card performer? Would that be an accurate description? Was I a mid-card performer that was over, held title?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not an enhancement talent. All right, you got this. So read this part, Joe. So Coney, you got to understand. I literally was, I started retweeting everybody. Yeah. I got attacked and harassed by Kenny's fans. Harassed. I mean, like, honestly, if I was like a person in the business that had mental health problems, it's like I don't see how anybody would be cool with this. But I guess because they know that I've got thick skin and I don't care. About all this wave of just like attacks and hate stuff or anything that I don't care. But it's like if there was somebody like this would have been problematic because everybody and their mother are attacking me with vulgarity, harassment, you know, jobbers, hundreds and hundreds of tweets and comments. Right. So I tweeted, OK, because I know what I'm doing because I wanted to get this out there. I say anybody from did you have my tweet, Joe? Where I basically called out the dirt sheet guys.
Any wrestling journalist want to hit me up for a comment on being faced with online attacks and harassment from Lance Storm and Kenny Omega fans?
Okay. Lance Storm.
Well, Lance Storm made a comment too. Like, just
he always
has to defend women's. You got Lance's comment.
Classic Disco. Pick a clip of a wacky spot. Many in North America won't like to be a troll. I've watched a lot of Stardom. Many there would work circles around you.
Work circles. So brother, insulting me. Okay, and all I'm referencing is Dave's comment that these girls are supposed to be the best women's wrestlers, better than WWE. And it's like, this is like the level of arrogance in the responses here of like, you know, how dare you question like Dave speaking about who are the greatest women's wrestlers. And anybody that watches wrestling knows that the Stardom girls should be great. And just the arrogance on these people of like, you're personally attacking me just because of a harmless tweet like that. Bro, I mean, would you agree that this is a bad look for everybody to tweet me? And get Dave's tweet, because Dave responded to what I said and Kenny said to me. This is fascinating, what Dave tried to imply. You got
so,
that tweet?
Yeah, so there was a comment from an account that says, at the Real Disco, that enhancement talent, as you put it, was more over worldwide and a better wrestler than you ever could be in your wildest dream. This is a reply to Kenny Omega. And he didn't need Dave Meltzer cheerleading for him or giving him awards to convince anyone he was. So Dave responded, Conan was his buddy. Omega was just a guy he knows from business. If you are correct, since Conan has had power in AAA since 1992, why wasn't Disco ever world champion there?
Read that again for Conan, because I want to say, did you understand what he's saying here? What Dave is saying?
Well, I answered him.
You answered Dave?
You answered Dave.
Well, what's your
I saw that while I was in the hospital.
And did you see what I tweeted?
No.
I said, that's
read what I tweeted, Drew.
Read what Conan tweeted.
Conan tweeted, for the record, Disco and I disagree on many things. One of them is Omega. Disco, who was always a pleasure to wrestle against and knew how to get crowds into a match, is a different type of wrestler than Kenny. Kenny reminds me of Eddie. He's one of the best all-around talents of all time.
But the thing I think what Dave was trying to imply is that you don't think I'm a good wrestler. And my and my thing was, I said, I'll answer this for you. We've talked about this before.
Okay, so let me answer. Let me just do my comment first.
I answered it by saying, you know, that's a weird way to put it, but let me answer this for you. I don't speak fluent English, and I never really cared to wrestle in Mexico.
You don't speak Spanish.
Conan has asked me to come to Mexico on numerous occasions, and I have actually turned him down. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like, you know, it's just like, it's not like, you know, like he's trying to play like, you know, like you think, you know, like you think I stink and you think Kenny's good. And I'm like, there's nothing, I don't know why
you're,
he would have like gone there.
You're just two different wrestlers,
bro. Completely different wrestlers. Right, exactly.
So the thing is that, you know, again, it's like the Cody thing. People's feelings are hurt. You already have a bad reputation amongst the younger crowd of maybe being bitter or irrelevant or whatever the fuck they have. Like you're the, you're an easy target to pick on because you'll come back at them. But I just think that, you know, and that is true. I have asked Disco to come to Mexico many times and he isn't interested. And you would think, you know, you would know that him being my friend, I'd take care of him. Doesn't mean I'd make him world champion, but I would take care of him. Right.
Right.
Kenny, on the other hand, is without a doubt one of the most professional guys I've ever met in my life. Very easy to work with, unlike most major stars who have some sort of fucking ego or they act like divas. Very chill, very easy to work with. He always makes his opponent look great. Love working with him. Same thing with the Young Bucks. You know, and we disagree. Whatever problem Disco has with Kenny, that's the way he sees Kenny, but that has no bearing on our relationship, okay? And the guy was also asking, do people complain about Disco and all that shit? Yeah, they complain about Disco. Main two things is, oh, how can you be his friend? Number one, you don't choose my friends, and who my friends should be irrelevant to you. And because you don't like him doesn't mean I shouldn't. And the other one is, yeah, he talks a lot. Why do you let him talk so much? I don't give a fuck. You know, he's my boy and I, you know, I don't care. But anyways, yeah.
But honestly, I want to put you on the spot here.
Yeah.
Is that a bad look for an EVP of the second largest wrestling organization to be beefing with me of all people on trans? So I just think that's
well,
a bad,
over that. Like yeah. I will say this. Here's the thing about the clip. Can somebody send us a clip? If they are the two best wrestlers in the world, can you send us a clip of them of a great match? Because that spot right there is no indication of it.
Right.
That's a silly spot. And of course, if that's the first thing Disco ever sees and the only thing he ever sees, what do you want him to think?
Right.
You know what
and
I'm saying?
Like it's not
it's also so
it's
for
like
all of you people that think it's okay, Disco's out of touch and all that. Well, this is all he has to go on. I don't even know who they are. And I pride myself on being on top of everything. Okay,
and I just
want to send us a clip. You know, maybe they are really good wrestlers, but that hokey sequence right there, come on.
Let's do this too, because I'm sure this is going to go up on YouTube. Okay, and this is just to set the record straight, right? On Disco was an enhancement talent, jobber. He was never over. He got over MK. Bro, during the height of the wrestling wars in like late 1997 is when I had my run for the TV title. It was like September 97th whenever it was. But like in the heart of the Monday Night Wars, okay, when we were beating WWE, okay, Dave started doing ratings analysis, okay? And like when he first started doing ratings analysis.
Yeah, you were getting some of the highest ratings.
All right, read this. This is from the Observer. When is this from, Joe? Well, what's the date on this?
October 27th, 1997.
Read what it says about me.
So it's
just to set the – so people that have never watched me but still like to say jobber – enhancement, right. Like the pile on with the mob. This is me back in 1997. Let's hear it.
So it says, for the last couple of months, Dave has been compiling all the quarter hour ratings, who was in those segments, and examines how the ratings of a segment rise and fall compared to previous segments, which is how you can see who is making people watch and who is making fans change the channel. And just looking at the number, your top ratings draw is Disco Inferno. A lot of it depends on placement of the show. Raw and Monday Night Football both start right as Nitro second airs beginning, so that contributes to a ratings drop-off. Stuff like that. It's all complicated and interesting, but Dave also says the numbers don't lie. No matter where he's placed on the show, the ratings increase significantly every time Disco Inferno is on TV, and all the different explanations don't fully explain that. Bottom line, Disco Inferno is actually a real draw on TV. Weird, but true.
And let me tell you one more thing. In the last 30 years, I've seen it all. And I've worked with mostly everybody. And you, Kenny and Disco are two completely style of wrestlers, okay? And I would want both on my roster.
And you know something? It's not like Disco couldn't work with Kenny either. I've seen Disco have great matches with AJ Styles in the ring.
I can work
with
everybody. I do. Yeah. I make, because here's the thing. This is what people don't understand. There's this thing now with wrestling today is that they think a worker is good based on their offense. Okay, I make guys' offense look good. I take good bumps. I sell everything they do and stuff and all that. And the guys like to work with me because the match is pretty basic. I take the bumps for them. I sell my ass off for them. And the only moves I'm giving them are like that they would even like take any type of bump would be the running neck breaker and like the Russian leg sweep. Close, like everything else would be like, I'm not giving you any difficult bumps. Yeah. I throw a good punch. I take good punches. I sell punches.
And you had a mean gorilla walk.
I mean, mean gorilla walk, and I have a good gimmick that the fans can imitate.
And you're good on the mic.
And I'm good on the mic.
But anyways, they just do that to piss you off. They do it to me all the time. Oh, Conan this, Conan. I could give a fuck. The facts speak for themselves. They didn't give me a title just for fun. There was a lot of talent there. They could have given it to somebody else because I was fucking over. That's all there is to it. Whether I was a great technician, whether I was one of the greatest of all time, whatever the thing is, I had a really good career. I had a great one in Mexico and a good one in the United States, you know. But people will minimize you. Oh, you were never a top star. You also got to remember we were also held back from being top stars.
Right, of course.
If you would have let us get in that top star echelon, we would have killed it. And I would have gone to WWE, I have no, and I ain't going to say this, it's going to sound braggadocio, and I would say it about Disco too, not because he's here, because I'd rather bury Disco than put him over. But Disco would have gotten over. He knows how to get over. I would have gotten over. I know how to get over. Jericho knows how to get over. That's why he always gets over.
Bro, they went, these guys were in a glass box. We're in the mid-card at WCW, you go to New York, and you slide the door of the glass box open, and all these guys, Jericho, Benoit, Eddie, they all became champions there.
Right. Let me tell you another guy that knew how to get
over.
Let me tell you another guy that
WCW, you know?
Another guy that knew how to get over everywhere he went. Raven.
Raven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you know how to get over, you'll get over everywhere.
Yeah.
And as far as me real quick, I've never heard anything like where I've lost – the opportunity for a gig or something just because I do this show or because I'm associated with Disco and I work on Bischoff's show, Jim Ross, Jarrett, Jake, and DDP.
Just a final word on this too. A lot of the stuff I saw in there, Kenny thinks I hate women's wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's why I picked that. It's like, I don't hate women's wrestling. I call out bad women's wrestling. I put over good women's wrestling. Like we do, bro. How I don't know. These guys just—they don't follow me. They don't understand where I'm coming from. They don't listen to the podcast. They get sound bites. They see one tweet. I triggered these people. Period. And
I know Kenny.
Right.
Not as good as I know you, but I know Kenny and I know you, and I really believe you guys would get along. But you guys don't know each other.
Right. We probably would because we're both like hockey. Next is from Sean Burgess. Oh, by the way, he did challenge me. He said if I wanted to fight him, I should throw
the take
just
a swing,
you know, whatever.
But would
I
would give him a Brooklyn tushy cooking.
No, no. Here's what I would challenge him to. Okay, yeah. I played street hockey. And I was an MVP in my street hockey league when I was 18 years old in the playoffs. I would challenge Kenny. I'll put the goalie pads on, and he can have five shots of me in a shootout, and he'll put the goalie pads on, take five shots of him in a shootout. We'll see who wins.
Did he play hockey, or you just assume he did because he's Canadian?
No, he plays. I've seen pictures of him wearing goalie equipment back in the
day. Oh, really?
Yeah, probably from Canada. Everybody in Canada play hockey.
But there's some guys that don't. They're weird. Like in the log rolling and shit.
could have either a hockey fight or a shootout.
I know Lance Storm is a big fan of log rolling.
Interesting.
And ice fishing. Nothing.
Next is from Sean Burgess. Subject is Vince's handpicked opponent. Gents, Hope you're all doing great. I just want to quickly shout out the hilarious Twitter performance from DI recently. You literally have the neck beard marks on a leash. It's incredible. Anyway, does anyone know when we're going to get an explanation from Vince McMahon as to why he, quote, handpicked Cody to face Rollins at WrestleMania? The return got a pop, but if you really look at the story of it, out of all the people he could have picked, he chose the bloke he fired as Stardust. For me, these things work a lot better if there was a storyline building up. Also, the more I hear interviews with Cross, Nick Aldis, etc. on your podcast, the more it blows my mind that these guys aren't working at the top in WWE with Roman, Drew, etc. as wrestlers who tick literally every box. I guess it's just politics. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. Cheers, Sean from the UK.
That's disinformation because Cody was not fired. He let his contract. He left. So
right, he left. Yeah. Right, yeah. So and plus too, they were just trying to figure out a way to make it a surprise. If they would have had a storyline, it would have just ruined the surprise. So it's like this, you know. But yeah, it absolutely is politics with all those guys. Absolutely is politics. I know Nick Aldis has had issues with some higher ups at WWE, and I know Cross. You know,
Nick Aldis would be perfect there. I can't believe that they haven't talked to him. I can't believe he's not in AEW either. And the only reason he's not in AAA yet is because I'm so oversaturated with talent. I got to find when to bring him in so he doesn't get lost in the shuffle.
Every time he's on the show, you guys talk about him. He still hasn't gone down there yet.
No. Well, because
Cody, why don't you just bring him in every show? And have him go out there and do a match and hit a guy with 4 or 5 power bombs to finish him. And just do that with him every single show.
There you go.
Next is from HKGR. Subject is the superior one a victim of cyberbullying because Kenny Omega was upset at his opinion. We just talked about this, but I'd like to hear what his guy says. Yeah. I wager 99 out of 100 adults would also look at the clip DI post and agree it was pretty terrible and extremely childish. If WWE had Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch do that spot, most of those who piled on Disco would be screaming how disrespectful it was for Vince to make them do it. But because it involved Japanese women, the neckbeards and weeboos felt compelled to don their Wonder Woman capes and do what they always do. Start with the white knighting and phony virtue signaling. On social media, stating the truth is a dangerous thing, especially when Japanese wrestlers are involved. Everything they do is great, provided they're not in the WWE, and you're only allowed to shower disingenuous praise on them. Is there any chance you could get Kenny and Don Callis on the show? I want to believe Kenny didn't expect the harassment he unleashed to get that out of hand. I'm a fan of both these guys, and Don Callis is always great. P.S. In the comments for that clip, someone asked a question Conan has asked. Where is Lulu Pencil? The response was that she's focused on her journalism. So now you know, K-Dog.
PPS,
PPS, the acclaimed are the best thing in AEW. Huge mark for Anthony Bowens as well as his dad, the godfather of hockey fights. Talk to Tony and get him on the show, Joe. Hmm. Wait a minute. What's going on? Anthony Bowens' dad is the godfather of hockey fights? What is that? Google that. I have no idea what that is. Yeah, but we just talked about this. But Conan, see if you can get Kenny Omega and Don Callis on the show. Do you think they'd be willing to do it?
Omega, Don Callis, yes.
Okay, well, I would say this. I think Kenny, honestly, this is a bad look for him if we invite him on the show and he turns it down. Because he's the one that came and attacked me over that. So it's like, you know, let's at least get Don Callis back on the show. Because he's bored. Because all he does right now is just police Lance Storm's Twitter. Have you seen that, by the way?
No.
Every time Lance Storm makes a comment, Don Callis trolls him. Like every That's single great. Time it's hysterical. It's like, you know,
this just says that his dad is a renowned collector of hockey fights on social media. So he's not a player.
That's very interesting. Okay, because back in the early 90s when I went to University of Georgia, I was a hockey fight tape collector, and I just wonder if I was getting them from Anthony Bowen's dad.
Maybe. Yeah.
See if you could like message him or something. Say, hey, and like find out, because like in the early 90s, I was getting hockey fight tapes. I was collecting them. Maybe I was collecting from him. Yeah. You know, who knows? Yeah. That's interesting. Next is from Robert Perry. What do you call it? He's from our Patreons. He's done some of the roundtables.
Yep.
Subject to serial killers. Fellas, I've been going down the serial killer rabbit hole. There's a good Richard Ramirez documentary on Netflix. I was in L.A. that summer. My aunt used to leave her back door open for a dog to go out at night. My question is for Disco. Do you remember the Atlanta child murders? And did you take any precautions during this? And that's from Robert S. from San Diego. Yes, I do remember, but we're in the suburbs. We were not in like the we're not in an area where you could get attacked, you know, something. So I wasn't worried about that. But I'm a fan of serial killer stuff too, documentaries. So that's I'm gonna watch that. Richard Ramirez.
I already watched it. I already watched it. Very good.
Very good. Yeah, yes. Because the story.
What a weird motherfucker.
Fascinating stories about the way they catch these people too.
Yeah,
you know, it's
and want to hear a funny thing? Because he actually told me this. Chavo Guerrero, the dad, he went to school with him in El Paso.
Really?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, and he said he was a quiet, weird introvert.
Right.
Well, for anybody that's interested in serial killers and stuff like that, I would recommend watching Mindhunter on Netflix. That's an excellent, excellent show.
Mindhunter?
Mindhunter, about how the FBI came up with the term serial killer and started investigating them and doing interviews with them. So there's guys playing Charles Manson, Son of Sam, stuff like that. It's a good show.
Interesting. Next is from Eggs, More Eggs. It's one of Conan's favorite accounts here. Subject is Conan getting buried. Question for Conan. I was watching 98 Nitros, and it's been about 3 weeks. You got squashed by Scott Steiner in a TV title match, kicked out of the NWO, and beat down, and you never got any heat back on them. Was this Kevin Nash using his bookie power to bury you? It's really messed up that we never got a Nash versus Conan match. And Disco, how much did you pay Nash to bury Conan? That's a cheap shot there. I did not pay Nash. Conan, he was burying you, correct?
1,000%.
Yeah, that's true. I think both of them have even. I actually think if you could probably find a clip on Kevin even admitting this at that time that you guys had heat and he did that. But thank God you're kind of cool now. So it's like, you know, that was a kind of a nasty divorce a little bit. You know,
it was fucked up.
Because you guys were tight. You know, we were all tight.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of weird. That was kind of weird when Kevin had to book. You know.
Yeah.
He was a little different, but it was like, you know, I don't know. Next is from Danny Trouble, and the subject is The Rock versus Undertaker. I was talking about this at the gym today and really want to know what you guys' take on it is. Between The Rock and The Undertaker, which guy's the better legacy in wrestling? And he puts AEW sucks ass. All right, whatever. The Undertaker's legacy, I think, is better.
Yeah.
The legacy of The Undertaker, because he had the, you know, like he's around, the streak.
Around yeah, 30, yeah, he's, 30 years, you know?
Right. You know, the Rock was obviously probably another level of star, but for a legacy of a wrestling career, it's hard to even like match the Undertaker's. Like if you talk about legacies of wrestlers, the Undertaker might be on the Mount Rushmore for his legacy because he like never, bro, when did this guy have negative press or, you know,
well, that has nothing to do with your legacy, but yeah, it kind of does.
You
negative
never
press has nothing to do with your legacy.
Let me give you an example.
Can be part of it could be part of it, but that's
right. Part of your legacy, right? But it is part of your legacy because a perfect example would be like a guy like Terrell Owens. Like if a talent alone, his legacy is incredible, but the guy was kind of like an asshole.
We're talking about wrestling, and if you look at wrestling, you know, almost all the guys, Ric Flair, Jake the Snake, Hulk Hogan, Scott Hall, they've all had problems, you know, and they're still considered some of the greatest. But legacy wise, has to be Undertaker, and and Flair wouldn't be far behind.
Right. Next is from Steven Weathers, and the subject is AEW character development. Hey fellas, hope all is well. What's your take on how AEW debuts new talent, especially in regards to the characters or gimmicks? I really can't think of one of their big ex-WWE signings having a brand new character, especially one that they've created. The worker might have some tweaks to their old character they've wanted to install, but has AEW really created any new IPs or trademarks? I saw a headline point out how Cody was able to leave us with his American Nightmare IP, which I'm not sure was created on AEW TV, but it was cultivated there at least. So are they just not interested in IPs or trademarks, or creating new characters at all for that matter, as they view that as WWE sports entertainment thing, and instead rely and put the focus on their in-ring work and Mike alone? I'm just not sure about the long-term viability of that route, but I'm just a mark, not a two-time Booker of the Year. I was once a Super Smile Award winner on Ramblin' Rod, a local Portland, Oregon morning kid show. So I've got that going for me, which is nice. Thanks for my content.
Yeah,
thanks
You know what? I wouldn't be gloating about that.
Right.
But I will say this.
Bro, how funny would this be? It's like if you have a guy at a show that's giving out a Super Smile Award.
Right. That's tremendous.
That actually be a good little gimmick, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
Well, yeah, they do have new IPs, and you know, like the Jungle Boy and Darby Allin, Young Bucks.
No, no, no. I don't think that's their intellectual property, though. I think all the guys. Bischoff was talking about this on his podcast.
That's
right?
Not theirs. Then why are they on TV? If you don't have their IPs, they shouldn't be on TV.
I don't think he owns the intellectual property in these guys.
How about
because
that?
If he doesn't,
that? How about that? Fucking what's that? Anthony Bowens and Caster.
Yeah, he probably owns Wardlow.
The Acclaim.
He probably owns Wardlow.
That's got to be their IP.
Guys that you mentioned, like Jungle Boy and Darby Allin, though they had those gimmicks before they came in, so maybe they
But when you sign with AEW, you sign over your IPs to them.
I don't think they do.
Well, I wouldn't. Yeah. I can't understand how you put them on TV not having their IPs.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm. Well, let's revisit.
Let me just tell you that.
Right. Let's look into this and revisit this next week because that's an interesting.
If somebody
question,
knows,
right?
Somebody that listens to the show, you know, let us know.
Next is from Current Down, and the subject is FTR copying Brett versus Owens. Hey guys, I know that you've rightfully stated many, many times that AEW keeps booking shows that AEW fans love, but I want to know from your own personal opinion, what do you guys think about how AEW matches just flat out copy spots from classic matches? Hardwood versus Wheeler was more or less. A remake of the Bret Hart versus Owen from Mania 10 with a few other Bret matches in there. And when they did Wheeler versus Moxley a few weeks ago, they flat out carbon copied the finish to Bret Hart versus Stone Cold from Mania. To me, this is the kind of stuff that just adds to the AEW backlash. Botchamania, for example, has really doubled down on burying AEW lately. What do you guys, Conan, Disco, and Joe the Model Feeny? Let's consider that, please.
There must be a word missing in there. Maybe the model
Joe, Joe, quote, the model, unquote, Feeny.
Like okay, add
the
incel in there.
It's very flattering.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. There's literally nothing wrong with copying a match that fans these days will never reference. Like, think about the level of dorks that there had to be
I saw the Hardwood Wheeler match, and that reminds me of Bret Hart and Owen Hart.
Bro, and then if they copied that match, and a good match.
Bro, that was WrestleMania 10.
Right.
Who the fuck is going to remember that?
Yeah.
And anyways, it's kind of like an homage.
Yeah.
I have no problem.
And there's nothing wrong with copying a great match.
Right.
Like those matches that made sense. There were four or five at the time. They were looked at as like, wow, these are some of the best matches that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. So it's like there's nothing wrong with from 24 years ago. You know, like people go like that's fascinating. Like that's the level of nerdishness that's in the business these days. These people are literally going back and like trying to mix and match the matches from the previous eras.
So. Right, and let me add another layer to that. And it's almost like the match is like we're all kind of like insiders and super fans, the people that listen to the show, and we critique the matches because you know there were a couple matches in Triple Mania, which was just in we just celebrated it on Saturday, which was a massive, massive success in every metric that you use in our business. And it's almost like WWE for everybody that says, oh, yeah, the wrestling isn't as good as AEW. Look at how much money. Go look how much money they're making compared to AEW. They are blowing them away. Okay? People don't give a fuck about match quality, only the hardcores. And it's the same thing with WrestleMania. You know, all these guys are like, well, this match wasn't this good and this match wasn't that good. But when you look at normal comments from normal people, not people that are sitting and listening to a podcast, which most casual fans don't, they love the event. They're like, wow, those are some good matches. I had a great time. I'll come back because we get feedback, you know? Yeah. And so even I was disappointed in some matches. And when they show me like the general people's comments, like the media and like our sponsors and all that, bro, they were blown away by the event. Just blown away. They're not into like, oh, that match wasn't that good. They were just blown away by the overall magnitude of the event and the surprises and all that. You know what I'm saying?
And that's how you get the fans. Because
That's why WWE is getting hot, hot girls. Because that sells, that draws. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And plus two, you look at the big event. You know the point of the big event, WrestleMania, Triple Mania. You're holding a big giant event to draw. Not this isn't just for your fans. It's like, this is our big event. This is a Super Bowl. This is like, if you were a fan of the, you know, if you were a fan of the Jacksonville Jaguars during the year and you tapped out in the fifth week because your team stinks and everything, but, you know, the Super Bowl comes around, it's like, okay, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, for Triple Mania is an event, you're drawing fans that don't watch your show and, like, they're blown away. Like, that's what you want out of them.
Let
wow,
me tell
look
you
at this
something.
Event. This is great.
Let me
right.
tell you something. They were blown away. We had, you know how when the Jets fly over?
Uh-huh.
We did that, and the place went ballistic. Then we had the army, and they came out marching, and they played the national anthem, and they unfurled this humongous Mexican flag, and that place went nuts. That spectacle itself from the drone camera was fucking ridiculous. It showed everybody Triple A's in the big leagues now, and they're doing, you know, and the pyrotechnics was WWE style.
Next is from while we're doing that. Next is from Juan Unda, and the subject is Russo, Cornette, and Bischoff Too Honest. Dear K100 crew, Eric Bischoff sent his podcast not too long ago. He's very direct, and that gets a mega heat. Jim Cornette is known to be pretty blunt, and Russo doesn't hold back his opinions either. Do you believe the reason they all hate each other is because they're allegedly so similar? Best, and that's from the Jersey Rican Juan Unda. P.S. I'm not on Patreon, so that show I sent in, never heard your verdict. My manager want to know if I'm wasting my time on a pipe dream.
So join
get on Patreon. We're not giving right. you shit for free.
Right.
Give up your $5.
Right.
What a cheapskate.
Eric Bischoff is from the Midwest. Jim Cornette is from the South. Vince Russo is from the Northeast. They were all three brought up on different style of professional wrestling in different territories and everything, and they just do not – they're just all oil and water. Like, all they just do not have this – all three of them had decidedly different personalities, but they're not similar at all, neither of them, you know? They're just completely different people. Do you agree with that?
Well, they definitely are different. You know, he's definitely a New Yorker, and every true blue New Yorker and everything that implies. The other guy's definitely a Southerner and everything that implies. But I don't know the real reason they all don't like each other. I think Cornette's never liked Russo for a long time, but I'm not sure why. You would probably know better than me.
Well, they wrote together back in New York, and they didn't get along. They argued.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think Eric thought that Vince was full of shit when he was in WCW, and he was in his as good as, you know, like, I think he thought he got sold a bad bill of goods. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, that he came from New York. You're supposedly this really bright guy that did all this stuff. And then when he got there, but you also got to remember, when Vince got to WCW, a lot of guys were not listening to him because they were like Eric Bischoff's boys.
Right.
So he had a lot of guys just going against the grain.
Yeah.
So it was very hard for him to get shit done.
Right, but definitely all three completely different personalities. So.
Yeah.
Next is from Mark R. Subject is athletics and potential move to Sin City. Hey, K crew, hope you're all doing well. My question is for all three of you in regards to baseball and markets. The Oakland A's president was incredibly vocal about the poor attendance of the recent bridge series. From international listeners, as a baseball meeting between the Giants and the A's, the athletics president publicly criticized the Giants for drawing a disappointing 3,200 and 898 in attendance. Meanwhile, Oakland, their respective stadium, is averaging 7,900 tickets a game. The actual in-person attendance for the Athletics is far worse. Do you guys think the A's stay in Oakland, or is a move to Las Vegas inevitable? Do you think baseball can succeed in Sin City? Disco, much like Conan having an AL and NL team, Red Sox and Padres, would you root for the Athletics? And lastly, what other cities do you think are suitable for a baseball team? Sorry for the multiple questions, however. I simply love the Cruise podcast. Regards, Mark Rosales. For this is so obvious. Okay, everybody in Vegas and everybody in Oakland knows that the Oakland team is moving here. And the fans, they're not going to get to the playoffs. And the fans have just tapped out and said, well, we're not going to come see the games anymore. It's like almost a done deal. They've been here like six times. And I read they're trying to keep it like kind of hush-hush. But they've agreed on a location already. And I will absolutely be an A's fan.
Let me tell you something.
Because I would love to go to baseball games in the afternoon because I got a lot of free time in the afternoon. I work at night.
And let me tell you another thing. If I moved anywhere, it would probably be to Vegas because California is so mega, 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 mega expensive.
Right.
But I've been an Oakland A's fan since the 70s. Okay. I could name you the whole fucking team. And I've been a Oakland A's fan my whole life. And I actually met them through our boy Ross Foreman. Remember, he would bring us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I loved their colors. I loved everything about Oakland. It's so sad because San Diego happened. They ripped the Chargers from us. And at first I was really mad. I was like, fuck the Chargers. But I shouldn't be mad at the Chargers because of a decision by fucking the owner. So I still follow the Chargers, even though they're in L.A. And if they go to Vegas, I will follow them there. And you're right. They have low attendance because they know they're fucking leaving. Why would you support a team that's basically telling you we're about to leave?
Yeah, and you're not going to make the playoffs. It's like, you know, what's there to like? There's no end game here. What are you just going to be sitting? Okay, this is the last time we're going to see these guys. It's like whatever, right? This is an interesting one. Next from Luke Smith, our friend from Down Under, Patreon. Subject is K1. Does he follow you? Do you follow each other, Joe? Does he send you these clips of these rugby violence clips?
We follow each other, but he hasn't sent me the clips. No,
he sends me DMs of a lot of rugby violence clips and stuff, and other things too. Subject is K100 Talks. Hey boys, loved your latest edition of K100 Talks on generational music. Great discussion, and you're absolutely correct. I think that my generation is the last to truly appreciate good music and sports stars. Allow me to explain myself. I'm 32, so I was born in 90. So during my childhood, I grew up listening to whatever music my parents played, which was a wide range of artists like Queen, AC/DC, Johnny Cash, Dion and the Belmonts, the Bee Gees, ABBA, and Kiss, just to name a few. Not only was I raised to appreciate great music from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, but I also discovered and appreciated my own taste of music from the 90s, Michael Jackson, Garth Brooks, Tupac, Notorious B.I.G., Pearl Jam, Metallica. I know Conan isn't a country music fan, but to tell someone today that Garth Brooks drew 1 million fans to New York Central Park in 1997 is astonishing. They probably wouldn't believe you. He transcended country music. That is true. On top of that, I also got to grow up watching peak Michael Jordan, peak Tiger Woods, the NWO, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and DX. Growing up during the mid to late 90s and early 2000s, I think was almost as good as it gets for the kid teenager. No social media. You were always outside, but the internet was around to look up your hobbies and interests. And everything was edgy without the over-the-top cancel culture that is around now. Agree? Thanks, Luke Smith. Would you agree with that take?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I would
agree with that too. That's true, bro. That's true. Like the late 90s to early 2000s was actually a fantastic time period. Right. Think about this. We had like unbelievable characters in sports. You know, you had Tiger Woods. You know, we had the NWO, Stone Cold Steve Austin. But like, remember 1998, we talked about this before, that period of time during the NBA playoffs, we were drawing well. Okay. They were drawing well. And 1998 was still the highest rated NBA finals in the history of the NBA. So it's like pop culture is
not only that
roof,
in the 90s, you still had Julio Cesar Chavez, you had Mike Tyson. Sugar Ray Leonard in the 80s. But the other thing is that the music broke, because that's what we were talking about, the music. Yeah. You know, the some of the stars that he named, you know, you're never going to see that musicality again, because now it's all instrumentation and saving money by not having live music or band members. And it's a bunch of beats and sounds, and it just isn't the same, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so whether it was, you know, Elton John or the Bee Gees or fucking Nirvana, fucking Guns N' Roses, they just don't make Van Halen and Led Zeppelin. What did I call them before? Van Zeppelin? That's a great little thing. Right? Yeah.
Rolling Stones.
And I got the plus two, I'm getting like you.
Rolling Stones.
Last week I called Ember Moon. I called her Ember Room.
Tremendous.
Sounds like
that type of music just isn't around anymore. Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
You know, that just isn't around anymore. And it's a shame. You know,
bro, I literally, the only new music I listen to, like I go on YouTube or DJ mixes.
Plus, you know what was funny about the 90s? Bro, just how wild it was. You remember, that's like back then they had like the Morton Downey show. Remember, they'd be fighting on TV. This is way before Jerry Springer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And how about this one? And the only reason I remember this is because they just had a special on TBS about it. How about the Girls Gone Wild franchise?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
How wild was that?
Yeah.
Hey, you heard about
that
guy, right?
Literally, that was literally on every commercial at night. You couldn't get away from it. It was everywhere.
What happened?
And now the guy's hiding in Mexico.
Is that that's what I was going to say. Last I heard, he was hiding in Mexico from something.
Yeah, well, they had a documentary of him on TBS last week, how it started and how he ended up in Mexico at Casa de Amor, and is a mansion that he built in Mexico so he couldn't be extradited to the United States.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
What was his crimes?
Yeah.
What crimes is he running from?
Well, because he got underage girls.
Right.
He was fucking having sex.
He was the type of guy that was kind of very, you know, bro, you're doing something. You're going around making girls gone wild. He was very loose on how old are these girls. Just like, he's just like filming stuff and putting the shit out there and selling it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like some of the girls find out that they're underage. So, you know,
they
like,
were under the influence.
Right.
A lot of
them
were felt intimidated.
Right.
You know, Yeah.
So next is Roy Rodriguez. Subject is disco and Terry Funk. A lot of my favorite podcasts. When I say I'm a postal worker and y'all show gets me through my route. Anyway, I'd been listening to Terry Funk's book on tape. It's a great listen, but I haven't heard any stories of him and Disco in it. Disco, did you have any matches or interactions with the Funker in your career? And how about you, Conan? Also, are you afraid of getting heat with Mick Foley since your tweet to him? Please read this entire email and your reply in your Terry Funk voice. Well, I didn't do that. I'll read the reply in the Terry Funk voice. Feel free to get some color if you'd like. People like that quote, the feel free to get. And that's from Pat Kenny, by the way. Oh, by the way, this guy, Kyle, what's his name? Played at Notre Dame. There was a 15th pick in the draft. Kyle Hamilton, right? He went to a Marist High School where I went, right? And my friend Dan Perez that I used to live with back at Georgia Tech, that was my friend from high school. He coaches football there. And Kyle Hamilton brought like 60 people out from Marist High School and Notre Dame out to the draft to see him and stuff. So me and my friend Dan went and had dinner. But Dan was talking about our podcast, and he's saying, like, bro, these guys these are the guys from Marist, this is from my high school, okay, that are interested in being on the podcast and will probably come on. Kyle Hamilton, Sean McVay, and this kid Kyle Farmer, who's a second baseman in the Reds. He's a southern kind of like little redneck kid from Atlanta that plays professional baseball and loves wrestling. So we might have to bring some of these people on from my old high school to give me some credit. Right. But Terry Funk, I met him at ECW. Raven brought me on an ECW loop with him one time. I met him in the locker room, gave him a beer, and when he worked to WCW, he's just like, he was always laid back. Everybody was super cool to him. Like, he always said, always gave him respect. Always, you know, you always just gave Terry Funk respect. You know what I mean? He was just like a guy. You didn't really sit and like, he'd tell a story. You'd sit there and listen, you know, but you wouldn't spend like an hour or two with the guy. But like, he was good. He was cool. You know? Well, what do you have anything to say about him? I thought he was a great guy.
Yeah. Well, I grew up watching Terry Funk in Florida. So when I met him, I did mark out. I met him in ECW, and we did a couple shows together. I remember the one time he went off because he had burnt. He used like a chair or something, and the chair burnt him or some shit. And he went to the locker room. He fucking went off. He just destroyed the locker room. And then another time he worked for AAA where he did this angle, and he had been in a fire match in Japan, and literally all his knuckles had blisters on him because he had burnt his hand, and he still wrestled like that. And I was like, wow, what a crazy motherfucker.
Joe, I just sent you a clip. Let's play the clip when Conan's done.
Yeah. Cool. Go ahead. Laid back, no ego, super cool motherfucker.
And this was he's the most skilled professional wrestlers in the history of business. Watch this clip. And tell me this is not like, if this is, tell me this would not look better than two guys standing there just forearming each other in the side of the face.
Bro, he could punch and sell.
I just wish more people. That's a great skill, bro. Throwing great punches is a great skill to have. Look at how good that looks.
And he sold great.
Yeah. Yes.
And he was a good promo.
I'll tell anybody. Just watch anything of Terry Funk from like All Japan.
Here's the best part about Terry Funk. Here's the best part about Terry Funk. He was very, very believable.
Because here's the thing. The Japanese guys, even in All Japan, they weren't like, you know, the Japanese style isn't like great at selling. You know what I'm saying? They don't have the facials like that the American style does. They don't, you know, Terry Funk would just oversell everything in like his matches in All Japan, and he would just steal the show. because people were just watching him sell, and like, you know, they're not even really watching the other guy. He was just like, you know, it was like, but everybody wants to just like just watch some entertaining shit, just any Terry Funk stuff from All Japan Wrestling is great stuff to watch. So, and that's been the mailbag.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Boom.
That could be a whole show. Cool. Yeah. That was a long one.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.